Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
There's one reason that I'm standing up on this stage today. That's because of my Lord up above. I got to say thanks to Jesus. You knew I was going to do it, but I got to do it.
Family Planning Services reduced cost. Contraception will reduce cost to the state and to the federal government.
So no apologies for that.
No apologies, no.
Mr. President, we need you to feed the good wolf within you.
And I'm hungry like the wolf.
To listen to the better angels of your nature and by your example, encourage us to do the same. Mr. President, tag, you're it.
Well, every president has done it. Intentionally or unintentionally, every president, from George Washington all the way through the present day, every president has done it to some degree. They have tapped into the deeply felt, and I think it's mostly felt, deeply felt relationship between the American experience and religious experience. They've done it, some of them, very deftly and consciously, knowing exactly what they're doing. And they have enhanced American civil religion and thereby their own presidencies. And others have just kind of stumbled their way through. And I'm not talking about only overtly presidents. I'm talking about all of them, overtly religious or not. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Thursday, January the 29th. Terry Mattingly joins us to talk about two issues to kick off this hour. President Obama and American civil religion, and a new Harris poll on Americans and abortion. Here's a little hint, they want compromise. Dr. Robert George will be our guest after that. We'll talk with him about several issues, science in the Obama administration, the reversal of the Mexico City policy, and the legal battle in California over gay marriage. And then Dr. Carl Fikenchel will be with us for the fourth part of our five-part daily series on biblical examples of preaching today, the parables of Jesus and his denunciation of his opponents. Terry Mattingly is a regular guest, director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes a weekly column on religion for the Scripps Howard News Service, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. He's author of the book Pop Goes Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Does the inauguration of our new president mean a scaling back of the themes and the sounds of American civil religion?
No, I think most people at this point agree that he is probably the most articulate president on his faith in terms of his ability to feel comfortable in his own skin and talk about it. He may be the most articulate since Jimmy Carter. And that's placing him ahead of Bill Clinton, who felt very comfortable talking about his background as a Southern Baptist, yet at the same time, shall we say, he had other reasons not to want to talk about religion very much in his second term.
When you were listening to the inaugural speech that was given by the president last week, what were your thoughts in terms of American civil religion? What were your observations?
First of all, I was surprised that he didn't do more to link that moment and his presence at that podium at that time with the language and themes of the civil rights movement. I guess there was a degree to which he didn't need to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was so obvious that, in my column, I raised it with Aretha Franklin singing My Country, 'Tis of Thee, and actually adding direct allusions to the Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream sermon, in her improvisational cadences at the end. He had made it a part of his improvisational cadences at the end of that. I was surprised Obama didn't do more with that overtly. I've also been struck, we've been living in the era of the religious right for so long that people forget what a liberal, progressive approach to civil religion sounds like. And you could make a strong case that that was actually the dominant strain of American civil religion for most of the 20th century. People forget, I mean, that it was liberal mainline Protestantism at the end of the 19th century, entering the 20th, who created a magazine called The Christian Century, you know, and talked about, you know, the rise of doing the best for God's kingdom here on earth. All of that, that kind of new, that Reinhold Niebuhr kind of language that Obama clearly feels totally and sincerely comfortable with.
You might disagree with me. I think the religious right, in a lot of ways, just hacks away at American civil religion and tends to confuse it with fundamentalism or something else, and never is really comfortable doing it. But the religious left, it's like watching virtuosos.
Well, no, I do disagree with you.
Okay,
because I think the left has largely gone tone deaf on this for quite some time. Which is why, I mean, the Howard Deans of this world, right? I mean, then along comes Obama, and he's like a restoration of the skill and the talent they used to have at it. Meanwhile, I mean, we forget that some of the most powerful leaders that were associated with the religious right, I think Ronald Reagan was a perfect example of how you speak in a conservative civil religion. He was very easy alluding to faith. Yet the minute you asked him anything specific, you know, he would, like, want to duck behind the podium. You know what I'm saying? He was the vague civil religion side of the right at its most skillful. And then, of course, along comes someone like Herbert Walker Bush, you know, who the minute you ask him a religious question, you know, it looked like he wanted to go somewhere and eat broccoli. I mean, he wasn't comfortable in his skin at all. Talking about religion, George W. Bush can offer you like a religious soundbite or something, but if you ask him to get up and talk about how faith integrates to some issue or something that he believes, that's where you've got to have Michael Gerson writing that speech. You've got to have the late Richard John Newhouse providing the kind of language that, you know, that works in the public square. Bush couldn't do it on his own.
Okay, the other subject I wanted to inquire with you about was this Harris poll recently out on Americans and abortion, and I'm wondering whether or not, you know, President Obama has promised a lot of things to the pro-abortion forces, and yet apparently Americans want compromise on abortion. Is President Obama prepared to deliver compromise?
No, of course not. Largely because Democrats – well, there's two things going on. One is that the higher you go up in the structure of the Democratic Party, the more you head toward either the religious left or the secularists. And that's kind of the ruling coalition at the top, which is why it's so interesting that they've decided to get comfortable all of a sudden with running, in some cases, pro-life evangelicals and stuff like that for the House of Reps. Things get dicier when you try to run somebody like that for the Senate, you know, or for national office, then it's impossible. But this Harris poll, I don't know if you noticed in that column, toward the end of that column, I flashed back to some numbers from the Pew Forum from 2006 that found that majorities of Democrats favor some sort of compromise on abortion that would be impossible under most interpretations are the dominant interpretations of Roe v. Wade. Now, then that's where the other problem comes in, and that is that Americans don't know what Roe v. Wade said, and they certainly don't understand the health of the mother clause that comes along in, you know, in the next decision down the road, which ends up defining Roe now for a generation.
Americans apparently want compromise on abortion in some form or another, but is such a thing legally possible?
It doesn't seem to be. That's what I'm saying. Under the current courts, under what Ross Douthat, the brilliant columnist at The Atlantic, refers to as under our current regime, to me, one of the most interesting political questions you can ask right now, and I think it's just as interesting to ask this to Democrats as it is to ask it to Republicans, the question that I keep asking people now is, how did America basically a center-right nation, how did America end up with abortion laws that are way, way to the left of Sweden or France? I think that's an interesting question.
Well, with only about a minute, what would you proffer as an answer to that question?
The American public doesn't understand what our laws actually are. They think that these kinds of – they want these kinds of compromises. You say the compromise. The compromise sounds good. It sounds reasonable. And yet the public doesn't understand that that compromise is both legally impossible and politically impossible in the Democratic Party, legally impossible in the courts.
Then with only 30 seconds, are we going to be able to defend the laws such as they are that either restrict or put some kind of a boundary around abortion on demand?
You know what? I hope so. I think E.J. Dion, you know, the liberal Catholic columnist for the Post, he wrote a column a couple of weeks ago pleading with Obama, saying the worst thing in the world you could do would be to stab the moderate pro-lifers and liberal pro-lifers in the back who went out on a limb and backed you. Don't do FOCA, was what E.J. Dion wrote. And I consider E.J. Dion to be a pretty good guide to the talking points for the moderate, to left-center moderates of the Democratic Party.
Do you think he will sign FOCA?
I don't know if it's going to make it out of Congress. He's got so much stuff he needs more than that.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes a weekly column on religion for the Scripps Howard News Service. You can read his columns under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Terry is a contributor to getreligion.org, and he's author of the book Pop Goes Religion. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
No problem. See you again.
When we come back from this break, we'll stay on these subjects to a certain degree. Dr. Robert George will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.